about one Julius Malema going to address the soldiers. I think the reason was that because the Defense Force is a matter of national security. I'm not sure some of you might have been also called about that matter. So, but I want you to, when you go here, because I just want to make a follow-up, when you go out of here, to assure your friends, family, and citizens that there is no Julius Malema who is going to set his foot in any of our military bases. So there is no, also no legislation that will allow that. So rest assured that everything will be in control. Now our next item is introduction of respective departmental delegations. Honorable Meneer?
Chair, I just wish to make two short points. On your first point, I certainly welcome your sentiment, and for the record, I issued a statement this morning supporting the Minister's hard line against Julius Malema's planned address outside the Doornkop Glen space in Gauteng this afternoon. That's the first point. Chair, just the second point, and I just wish to place this on record, I don't think we need to debate it. I am concerned that we only heard about this meeting yesterday. I only received the documents last night at 6:30, and I'm not sure where fault lies, but I do just want to record my objection. It is impossible to prepare, particularly when the matters are as complex as they are, in the short time that we have available. And I wonder if we could look at taking action to avoid this in the future. I just wish to play that on record. I don't think we need to debate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much on your first comment, Honorable Meneer. And the second one, that will be taken care of. It seems there was a lot of miscommunication this time around about this meeting. Can we then go on to the department to introduce the delegation, and then we'll then go straight to the presentation after that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the members of the committee. Let me start by saying I would like to register an apology for the Secretary of Defense, who is not able to come and be with us because of a long prior arrangements with regard to South Africa's engagements with other countries on defense matters. No, Chair, not that. I think if having with the meeting having been scheduled for last week, he would have been present. Unfortunately, he couldn't be absent for that discussion. In light of that, Chair, I'm going to first introduce myself and then ask my the members of my delegation to introduce themselves to the committee very quickly, in terms of who they are and what they do and which area they represent in the department, so that the committee can have a sense of also hear their voices even before the presentation. I will lead most of the discussion, Chair, and then share some of the responsibilities with my colleagues as we proceed. In that regard, myself, I'm Zionge Labantu. I'm the primarily the Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Defense. And today I am presenting the Secretary for Defense, as I have already indicated in the apologies. I'm going to ask my, present with us is the DG of Military Veterans, who is present to provide the necessary support with regard to areas that he may respond to that relate to the matter and discussion. Chief, you can.
Thanks, Chairperson. As already indicated, I'm the Director General of Military Veterans, 702.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Dumisani Lassa. I am Chief Director of Strategic Management. But for today, I'm representing the head of the Department of Defense Policy Strategy and Planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Gloria Spellman. I'm the Deputy Internal Audit and the Head of Internal Audit for Department of Defense. Thank you.
My name is Barney Hilbrecht. I am the Chief Director of Budget Management for the Department of Defense.
My name is Kutumila Mkwanazi. I'm the Director of Asset Management for the Department of Defense.
Morning. My name is Nandi Pansalo. I'm Chief Director of Strategic Support at the Department of Military Veterans.
Good morning. Lefani Maka, Deputy Director, General Corporate Services, Department of Military Veterans.
My name is Mabel Rantla. I am in the Department for Military Veterans, Deputy Director General responsible for Socioeconomic Support Services.
Good morning. My name is Mame Longrodi. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Minister's Office.
Good morning. My name is Makalem Mwatudi, the Head of the Office of the DG Military Veterans.
Good morning, my name is Nonkonzo Mlai, DDG responsible for Military Veterans Empowerment and Stakeholder Management.
Thank you very much. Can we go on to the presentation, please?
Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. The presentation, as is required, was required in terms of the communication. We'll first deal with a presentation on the quarterly performance, which I'm going to indicate how it's structured, and then it will also be followed by a report on the financial performance for the quarter to the members, and then after that we'll then do a presentation on the progress with the audit report on assets, which will largely be the summarized report that relates to assets only. There are two reports on the audit findings, largely also almost relating to things that have already passed, but I think I will concentrate particularly on the one that deals with asset management progress, noting that we are doing so close to the time when there will be tabling of annual reports that will then reflect verify position our performance and financial outcomes for the year following the 2011 financial year, which is the year that just passed. In that regard, Chair, I will cover the aim of the presentation. It is to present the Department of Defense's first quarter performance report against spend to DCD. In doing so, I will cover the legislative mandate, which I'm going to go briefly, and then overview of the defense programs, and then with regard to the subject matter today, then start dealing with our progress with regard to the ministerial priorities, and the selected performance indicators that are at a high level transversal in terms of the documentation that was submitted to Parliament. And then I will specifically deal with in detail with regard to the Defence Secretariat summary of the quarterly reports, which is Appendix A. Chair, I will not deal with specifics with regard to the summary of the SANDF target based on previous understanding that matter is then discussed in detail and interrogated to the lowest level possible in the Joint Standing Committee. And then I will, if the committee agrees, either pause at that stage or then take the next report, which will be on the financial performance of the quarter. I do not know what the process will be. Okay? In that regard, the legislative mandate, as is known, is from Section 200 of the Constitution of the Republic, which is given substance in terms of the Defence Act, the White Paper on Defence, the Defence Review that passed, and in future, when with consensus, it will then be revised into the Defence Review that will be, or in the process of being engaged on. And the related delegated legislation such as the regulations that fall under those legislative pieces. Chair, as you know, the defense as an organization is formed by two distinct organizations with different mandates, which is the Defense Secretariat, established in Section 204 of the Constitution, and the South African National Defense Force. And the defense outcome is an effective defense for a democratic South Africa. If we look at the Defense Secretariat, it largely is constituted in Program 1 of the vote, if you look at the ENES stands. And the APPs that we submitted. Its main sub-programs cover the departmental direction, which is largely an area that constitutes the activities under the Ministry, Secretary for Defense, and all of those areas that are largely about providing strategic direction for the department, like the authorities for strategic discussion. Direction of the department. Then we will cover the duty of function, the policy and planning, sub-program financial services, the acquisition services, the defense supply chain integration, and then the defense international affairs. Just for the committee and the reconciliation of the documentation, we provide just an indication of what the overview of the SANDF is, largely. It is general administration, which is the matters of the SANDF that you will find in Program 1 of the ENE, and then force employment, which is Program 2. Land war defense, air defense, maritime defense, military health services, defense intelligence, and general support. The next item then will be to give a brief overview of matters that relate to the priorities, ministerial priorities for 2013, and a glimpse of where we are with regard to those in relationship to our targets. Some of the issues you will find covered in, they're almost repeated in other areas. I will seek to not repeat in the presentation itself. The first priority is maritime security. We are determined that the performance indicator in this regard will be the percentage of compliance with number of ordered commitments, largely the external, in the maritime environment. And this is achieved through the force employment program, particularly driven by the joint operations area. Our target as a percentage is 100% for a quarter. Our target is to the percentage that we will maintain over the year, and we have been able to achieve that and maintain it in the first quarter. Forward deployment capability, which is a percentage compliance with number of ordered commitments external forward deployments. We are looking at a proper mechanism of ensuring that we can report on it. But the The investigation in this regard is underway, and we will report in future quarters as to what the measurement and the agreements regard to that is. The third one is the priority that relates to DOD works capability establishment and implementation. And our measurement performance indicator there is a percentage compliance with a planned staffing of posts. And this is this we developed in recognition of the fact that this is a new area that requires to be upscaled over the period and whose outcomes are in line are determined also by the extent to which we make progress in finalizing matters with the Department of Public Works that help us to ensure that it is implemented appropriately. We wanted to ensure that at least we meet 50% of the planned staffing in this environment by the end of the year. And this target is set by the fact that we also had to consider that there are issues that relate to how we deal with the funding, transferring the funding and changing the use of the funding from public works in this regard to meet the requirement. And therefore, we'll implement it. We plan to implement it, have that capacity, and upscale it in the coming years of the MTF. The landward defense, we have achieved a 42.7% target in terms of that. Remember, we want to maintain at least a 50% staffing solution in this environment, and we are sitting at 42.7% of that target. And we would want to have achieved the 50% at the end of the project. Landward defense renewal, our performance indicator in this regard is the percentage compliance with approved force design that relate to the landward defense. We had projected that we should have achieved 95% by the end of the year. This matter is in progress. We indicate that we will be able to hold. This is one of those targets we will report on for the full year when in the last quarter of the financial year. The other one is the revitalization of the reserves, which is a target of saying number of reserve force members utilized on a consistent basis on a month-to-month basis. We had said that we would want to achieve a target of 12,400 utilized reserve force throughout the year, and we are now sitting at 11,108 target towards that by the end of the fourth quarter. So you will see, I think we've had discussions around this matter already. That target is measured on the basis to which you deviate from the targets that you set to have maintained for the whole year. And in that regard, we've not achieved 100%, but we're close to that, and we are aiming at ensuring that we can achieve that 12,400 by the end of the current year. The National Youth Service, the performance indicator there was the number of National Youth Service Program participants that are trained per year. In the current year, understanding that we started with the pilot program that began to indicate the areas and was used to start to develop the at least the structure and the basic principles to that year and the model that we are looking at. And currently, on an agency basis for the departments that have signed agreements with ourselves, we had planned to have started to have 2,000 in our program in the current year. We have achieved 973 in this quarter. And we hope to have either met or exceeded that target, largely funded from funds that have been transferred from our departments, and we manage the resources that relate to that. Job creation, percentage compliance, the performance indicator there is the percentage compliance with the DOD-funded HR strength. We had projected that we would want to achieve at least 90%, and recognizing the nature of the employment situation, interference, attrition, etc., where the statistics indicate that we are sitting at 98.5% in this area. The next priority was the restructuring and support of the defense industry, which has two targets under it. The first one is a pregnancy indicator was the development of a white paper on defense industry status. And this is managed under the Defense Supply Integration sub-program of administration, and we'll come back to it later to indicate the progress as well. We had projected that we should aim to have an approved white paper on the defense industry by the end of the year. The progress in the first quarter is that the draft white paper was submitted to the Defense Review Committee for incorporation with the Defense Review document, so that as we have that strategy, it is also covered as one of the issues to be dealt with under that environment. Strategy on defense industry status. And this is managed under the Chief Defense Materiel sub-program. We had aimed to have the defense industry strategy in place at least by the end of the year. Drafted with the aim of ensuring that then it is approved in the following year of the MTF. The concept has been formulated, and also in seeking to ensure that there is proper integration of the processes involved, and there is also the interrelationship with the defense review articulation of this matter, which is now, when to implement it, to then finalize it, is contingent on the finalization and approval of the defense review document, which will then inform us on and assist us in ensuring that we can take the next steps towards the implementation of our strategy. Okay, there are selected performance indicators, some of which relate to the matters that I've covered, across which are higher than measures of whether or not we're making progress in various areas. I will go through them. There are about 13 of them. I will quickly try to run through them as quickly as possible. The first one is compliance with third extent by force agreements in South African pledge when required. This is one of the areas which is almost a part of the contingency nature of defense, because sometimes you wouldn't know at the beginning of this what they are, but you can aim at making sure that when they are issued, you are able to deal with them. And this is managed in the Defence Force, largely in the corporate services side, chief corporate services. Our projection to the end of the year as a measure was to ensure that, was to ensure that we have full compliance with the requirements and the pledges based on the available resources that we would have to meet those. This is a matter that we will report fully on in terms of what has been achieved at the end of the year. In the first quarter, all the work that was required was done, and the matter is in progress. And then the next one is total number of defense attaché offices, which is managed under Defense Foreign Relations. We had projected that we will reach a target of a level of 40 such defense attaché offices in the world. By the end of the first quarter, we have 39. we will seek to ensure that we reach that 40 by the end of the year. Number of external operations per year, 4, which is the current ones that we have, and we will maintain them at 4 unless otherwise directed the policy, either to increase or reduce. At the time of planning, we have projected that we'll have the 4 and maintain them appropriately. Average number of personnel deployed daily in external operations, and this measure is we had this is and also achieved our force employment, and we had aimed to ensure that we maintain an average target of 2,250 throughout the year, on a daily basis. Our calculations and averages for the current period is that we are sitting at 2,218 in terms of the target. Number of force employment hours flown per year achieved to the air defense, 10,500 in the first quarter, 3,215, 14.6 which is needed to 15 each year. Number of hours at sea per year, maritime defense, 35,000. We are currently sitting at 2,584 by the end of this quarter. Number of external operations per year, we hope to have 4 in terms of our projections. We have 4 in the first quarter. We will seek to maintain them at 4 throughout the year, unless otherwise directed to either increase or decrease, depending on the contingencies and the requirements of the and the direction from the executive. Number of man days used during the internal operations, 620,000 is a target for the year. We have achieved in this first quarter 191,000, and we hope to meet the target of 620. And then also related to whether or not there are increases in the instructions, that will relate to that. But we think we are on target to achieve that. Number of joint interdepartmental and multilateral military exercises conducted per year. We projected that we will have 8. In the first quarter, we have had 1. We hope that by the end of the year, we'll have had the other 7 achieved. And again, we're subject to the authorization and the requirements for that. But we are on target. Our achievement is 1. Number of military skills development members in the system per annum. And this is managed under by through the Human Resource and Monitored in the Environment. We had projected that after the last year's reduction in our budget, based on what remained on our budget in this regard, that we would achieve, we would be able to maintain 6,673 for the number that was higher. I'll check what the number was previously. It means that over the year we will have to scale down until we are able to maintain that number of 667 by the end of the year. But because of previous commitments, in the first quarter, in the system we have 6,801, which we think we will have to maintain up to the end of the year. And we think that there are no risks for not achieving that target in the current year. Number of active reserves per year. We had projected that we would utilize 12,400 reserves in the current year throughout the year. Our numbers seems indicate that in the system we have 11,100 as we speak. And that was at the end of the first quarter. Number of health care activities per year, 2.1 million. In the first quarter, we have 763,000 that have been achieved in the first quarter. Level of the OD, level of the OD personnel morale, this being achieved through the Defence Inspectorate. I think the we had projected that we should have a positive outcome that probably would be determined by surveys, and that would be achieved. It's an ongoing and very difficult area to manage, but we want to be able to have a sense of an achievement of a morale, positive morale in the defense force by the end of the year. And in that regard, I think the activities that have been put in place with regard to, for example, ensuring that there is an internal formal grievance management process in place, ending up with an ability for the defense to have mediation of those things and enforcement of achievement of giving attention to those issues to create a positive environment, put the ombudsman, etc. And also I think that the strategy of ensuring that we have service commission but then can be able to scrutinize and make useful proposals that relate to the extent to which we are able to deal with issues that concern members with regard to their conditions of service. All of those are the things that we thought would be contributing to aiming to a positive morale. And that's not without the necessary discipline that needs to be maintained by any defense force throughout its life. I then go to the Appendix A, which is the Defense Secretariat. In this regard, when discussing this, we have, as part of the indication, almost as a dashboard indicator, we have coded certain areas in color, which is generally accepted practice, for those areas that we think the high risk or there is a problem with regard to uncertainty with regard to whether or not the final achievements will be achieved towards the end. That is used to ensure that we are able to monitor appropriately. We then indicate those that have a moderate risk, which is amber, and the ones that are green would then be the low risk, which effectively either would indicate that we'll be able to achieve at the end of the year. And therefore there wouldn't be huge requirements for action to be required, just to ensure that it is monitored appropriately throughout the year and make sure that we achieve the target. So we have used that as a way of indicating whether or not we're making progress. The first one, Chair, in the Secretariat, under the GCO function, is the performance indicator that reflects a percentage compliance with six DOD ICT portfolios of the Defense Enterprise Information System Master Plan. The Master Plan is in place. What is required is to make sure that we achieve certain things with regard to that plan and monitor them. The annual target is to ensure that we are able to maintain and manage the environment within that plan and achieve all of its requirements. The first quarter target, that the APP is 5%. The achievement in this regard is 1.57. We have marked it red. We will give attention to it and ensure that it is dealt with. We indicate that in this regard, with the promulgated Department of Defense information strategy, we needed to guide the department and the Defense Force Information Communication Technology strategy. That would then ensure that information to enable information to realize as a strategic resource in the department. And I think we are indicating it as red, we are giving particular attention to ensure that all of those issues are achieved. The second one is promulgated Department of Defense Information Strategy. which was approved. This function now is dealing with issue of monitoring the implementation of that throughout the year. And we will have, when we report annually, what the areas that require attention there. We think that this one is going to achievable. There's low risk of not being able to produce on it. From our gated information and communication system policy development plan, this is also on the same basis. It is green, and I will jump it on that basis. Defense policy strategy and planning sub-program. The first performance indicator is coordinated defense engagements in clusters. This is the area that ensures that we are able to coordinate our activities and form and ensure that we meet our requirements with regard to the coordination of general government coordination processes within the cluster environment, and also that's where we deal with the issues of managing our outcomes that relate to this. Our target was that we want to ensure that all our cluster-related submissions are submitted by the time they are, by the dates that are defined. That means we meet all of the timelines in that regard. And that was, that would be a target for each of the quarters. The actual achievement for this quarter is that we have not missed any of the deadlines in terms of the cluster requirements. Support and resource the defense review process. Critically in this was that after the appointment of the members of the defense review, there was a need for us to show that their capacity, they have the support that they require for them to deliver on that program, on that task within the year. We provided HR support plus the financial support required, and we think that also you will see the outcome that comes out of that process that they've been able to achieve. We've been able to ensure that they are fully resourced and all other requirements that they need are looked at and provided to the satisfaction of that process. Okay. This is the target we had set up to the time when it would have been expected that the review committee would be in place, which was aimed at being in place up to the end of September. If there are extensions to that environment, then we'll need to address that in that regard. Percentage departmental policies that are authorized for promulgation. This is the area also that deals with ensuring that the internal policies managed and developed. The target for the year that we set ourselves was 70%. That would need to be maintained throughout the year. We are sitting at 50% of that target by now. We have put it at Amber because they have identified also a number of issues that are contributing to this. I think interventions to addresses have been put in place. Recently, there was a week-long training session for various division services, policy planners to be able to policy writers in writing policy in line with defense requirements. We think that was one of the things that was causing a delay in finalizing policies was the capacity capacity and ability to do those. And I think those interventions are going to improve the situation such that by the end of the year we're able to achieve our target in this way. The other one is the target that was performance indicators in case was related to the tripling in Parliament of APPs, which is the basis of the measurement that we are dealing with today. And for the year, which will be the 2014-15 financial year, by February next year. And that target will only be, whether it's achieved or not, will be measured at the end of the fourth quarter when that document is tabled. But in the current year, we have indicated the progress with regard to certain things that we have had to do. and the measurements and the targets we had set in order to ensure that we'd be able to meet those requirements. I think from an government process submission requirements process, we have been able to meet all of those. Although the first draft that is required to be submitted to Treasury submitted in that regard, we will meet that target unless something extraordinary happens in February next year. Then under defense policies, continuing, the also in this area is the function report needs the risk management activities, which set an annual target that we will have a fully developed level 4 risk register that is matured to the level acceptable. And the target is that by the end of December, we should have finished all of that and moved to the next levels, which would be, and then we do not anticipate that we will not be able to achieve that. It is also one of the areas that the audit committee also takes interest in as well as part of the internal oversight and quality control service. Tabling of the annual report, in Parliament, in line with national prescripts, the national prescripts provide for the outer date of the 30th of September for the tabling of the report. It has been prepared, subjected to the general final consideration to ensure that there is nothing that is contradicting in that regard. We had aimed at the time to have it tabled by the 15th of August. We will table it before the 30th of September. And there were issues of finalizing, for example, the financial statements auditing with regard to critical areas in the asset management process that we had to engage on, subsequent to the 15th, when everything else was ready, we needed to ensure that those matters are closed as part of the program, annual auditing program process, but we will make the deadline of the 30th of September table. We aim to table before that, because it is now at an advanced stage of reading. The DoD research capability status. Our annual target was to have organizational structure design investigated, which would be conducted in during this year. We've done a strategic analysis, and we've also done the business process analysis, we aimed to have the strategic analysis and business process done during the first quarter. We have not finalized that. That's why we have this matter as read. We hope to have it completed in the second quarter that comes to the end on the 30th of September. So when we come back, we'll be able to report progress, if any. If we've not, we'll indicate as such in terms of the color. And we will then ensure that the interventions necessary are put in place to achieve that. And financial services, the high-level target was a number of adverse audit findings achieved. Annual target, I remember the minister instructed that we should, by the end of the year, have dealt with the issues of qualifications, etc. So our target was zero on those things. None. First quarter, there was nothing found. But I think this is reportable after the outcomes are published, and therefore we will not report on it in this particular quarter as such. Approved DoD policy regulating resource unit costing. We aimed to have a policy that will define the basis of making use of appropriate costing mechanisms and process, particularly to ensure that we do more rigorous costing of activities, including capital acquisition, and ensure that the numbers that come out of that are properly done in line with the standard for costing. Our annual target is that at least we want to have this policy approved by the end of the year. Our target is that in the first quarter we should have a conceptualization of the parameters that are required, and that has been done. In the second quarter we want to develop this to have a draft strategy and then engage other people who are affected, including the services and divisions, so that there is and also, for example, in the capital environment, defense material, who manages the camp issues, and ensure that all of those are within that are dealt with appropriately, and their issues are taken on board. We think we will achieve the target by the end of the year. We will have the policy in place. There was also a need. We had also indicated that we wanted defense fiscal framework in place, which would by and large define how we enhance, for example, how we structure the issues of the revenue side as well as the expenditure side. And ideally it would be a redefinition of the 40-30-30 requirements going forward in line with our own requirements, and also how each of the programs spending will relate, I think, so that we have a better understanding and an accepted norm in defense about what should be the ratio of spending between the amongst the services and the various programs, and that would be ideal in terms of ensuring that the defense is able to achieve its goals, and that is also has dependence, and that's why we have an EMBA, because it is a subject of the outcomes of the defense review itself, which will decide on how the defense force is going to be structured, the force. So I think that we make it amber because we know that there are imponderables that will need to come out of the defense review that we need to then address in order to ensure that we can finish this strategy and have it reviewed and finalized at the end of the year. Percentage payments in accordance with invoices, claims and charges, which is related to the 30-day treasury regulations requirement situation. We have now put in place and report on a regular basis to National Treasury. But on how we are doing with regard to that requirement. The target, unfortunately, because it is a prescribed thing in National Treasury in terms of the Treasury regulations, and something that we would have to, over time, get a better understanding and agreement with National Treasury, because I think some of us believe it's not necessarily achievable that you could have 100%, because there are instances where you may not pay until you are satisfied that you are paying for an estimate expenses that should be charged to the department. And therefore, while we set 10% because of the requirement, we will continue to have those agreements so that there is a standard that can be agreed upon with National Treasury that ensures that we achieve the targets there. But in the first quarter, our measurement was that 70% of invoices are paid within the stipulated period. We aim to increase this. We've had people, I've had high representatives to presenting to the MC, for example, in areas where we discovered that there were these difficulties, and in order to seek resolution of this. And that's the kind of interventions we want to put in place in order to ensure that we achieve that. And that includes even the systems that we're using in defense that will require to be improved upon. Acquisition services. The first one is strategy of the defense industry. I think we've already dealt with this is one of the other areas that is selected for high-level indicators. In this regard, this is a target that is set for the whole year. In the first quarter, we did not have particular target, but we want to have, by the end of the year, achieved an approved white paper on defense industry and a dedicated way. We put AMBA because we recognize that there is a dependence on what comes out of the defense review. Just saying there is a risk here that we'll need to manage, but it is not a very high risk because we believe that what will come out of that and the fact that there is already an interaction between the defense review and the Defense Industry Council is going to mitigate and help us to understand and make sure that we can be able to incorporate the necessary issues that need to be taken into account in that regard. The next one is percentage budget allocation received for renewal of DOT mine equipment in relation to the total DOT vote. We had aimed for a 30% allocation. We see even in the expenditure outcome that there is a 9.49% achievement in this environment. It is red. We want to have achieved the 30% by the end of the year. Various interventions, I think there are also structural limiting factors with regard to the already contracts already in place, etc., etc. But this percentage is reflective of the AMIRA position versus what is available in terms of the vote. Chair, generally, with regard to the performance in this environment, the Deputy Minister is leading a task team that's looking at reviewing the whole process for acquisition and ensuring that we can eliminate unnecessary steps in the process while maintaining the integrity of the proper, good corporate governance environment, requirements that pertain to this. Then third one, percentage expenditure on research and development within the acquisition environment that helps us in researching the requirements and the needs and the technologies appropriate. The target is 25%. What we have achieved in the first quarter is 14%. But this is also another one of those targets we want to measure at least more scientifically. And definitive by the end of the year. We think it's ever because I think there are dependencies with regard to the fundings and the extent to which we can reprogress within the current arrangements because of the resource constraints that we have. Approval of the Defense Intangible Capital Asset Policy. Chair, we assigned Defense material responsibility for ensuring that there is an asset, an intangible capital asset register, and then it develops plans. And in the current year, we then gave a performance indicator and a target that relate to the completion of that, which is also a contribution to the process of ensuring that we have clean audits. With regard to one, we have an asset register that is maintained with regard to the inventory of our intellectual and other capacity, sorry, assets that are intangible. And that process is underway. Our first quarter target was that we would have broad agreement and discussions with regard to the policy requirements with the relevant stakeholders, and also an analysis and understanding of what is available in those environments in order for us to have a policy that would then begin to be representative of needs and requirements in defense. The policy has not been discussed in terms of its requirements with relevant stakeholders. I think the indications at the end of the quarter was that the only areas that required to make further inputs in this regard, and then you can understand they are the major areas being in terms of...
Chairperson, point of order. Chairperson, may I suggest that we're sitting here till 1 o'clock. We still got a lot of documents to go through. Is it possible that the person, and when we have green, just mention it, but when it's red or amber, give an explanation. Maybe then we can go more speedily through
these documents. Because, I mean, we still have questions as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Then I will skip to page 20. DOG Foreign Relations Strategy status. Our tag was policy approved in relation to this. Our first quarter target was that we would have a policy submitted to stakeholders for inputs. And this is now by the end of the quarter, the conclusion of obtaining the inputs had not been finished from the, and I think the requirements was for the command bodies to then finalize the inputs into the policy, and therefore the outcome is that it is not, while the content is partially achieved, but the outcome is not necessarily fully achieved. We put EMBA, if there are any delays in this regard, they may have an impact on the policy for the achievement of this policy outcome in the end. We just indicated that. I think what will be done in the current year is to ensure that this matter is presented to the senior officers, and the process of getting the final input is then concluded. Then the next one would be I will jump the green ones, unless members want to ask specific questions relating to that. I go to the serial number 29, which relates to the Defence Force Service Commission status as a performance indicator. We had aimed for a fully functional fully functional Defence Force Service Commission, which would then have started to make recommendations that would be submitted to the minister to start to deal with the mandate as the Act requires by the end of the year. That's the annual target we set. For the first quarter, we wanted to achieve at least a step into the regard to the establishment and have the commission in place, members announced, etc. And then including the issue of the infrastructure that they require to function. We put it as EMBA because not all of that has been finalized. We think that then it would be necessary for us to accelerate process. And the non-achievement did partially, my collection of processes, is that I think although there were recommendations that were made in this regard, there were concerns with regard to representativity, gender, etc., etc., that needed to be finalized, or at least to have the process augmented in order to achieve those. But so the interim, or part of the interim structure still are in place until we finalize that process. But that is something that is being handled by the minister with an aim of ensuring that there is a finalization of the matter. We're just putting it as EMBA because we know that when there was a specific target of ADF, certain things did not materialize. I will then jump the rest, which means back.
Thank you very much. It would seem that you have achieved and exceeded most of your KPIs. I wonder what you'll be doing in the next 3 quarters.
Honorable members, you can now interact with the presentation. Honorable Daniels, Honorable Mkavateli, Honorable Kuneval, Honorable Menia, in that order. Honorable Nana and Honorable Isao, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the department for the job. Should I say 80 or 90? Well done. Chair, just a few questions. I will start first. I've got a substantial number of questions. I do have. On page 10, Chair, on the SADC standby force, I think we have been hearing of this standby force, and we have haven't had a chance of exactly knowing what is it doing, how is it doing, how long has it been prepared, because all we are seeing still in the first quarter of this current financial year is still in progress. Just get a sense of what is it exactly that we're dealing with. That is one. The second one, Chair, is on page 14. On the percentage of compliance with the 6 BODICT. Here, Chair, I speak on corruption. I just want to understand why is it red there? Shouldn't this be talking to the processes that we are already dealing with in terms of asset? I would imagine that this ICT, 6 ICT portfolios, aren't they supposed to be the ones that are talking with all the issues of asset? Correct me if I'm wrong, because if you are already dealing with those issues, why then would that be read? Is that the same thing that I'm understanding it to be? The next one, Chair, is on page 16. I saw somewhere you were talking of retention strategy. Now, in terms of your retention strategy, what are you talking about? And your defense industries. If then your research capability status are at red, shouldn't that be related? Or maybe I don't understand exactly what you're talking to. On page 17, I would like, Chair, my memory to be jogged here. Who is supposed to be dealing with force structure and force employment? Is it the department or the defense review? Because the way I remember it, it was supposed to be the department. So that you cannot say that you are dependent. This is dependent on the outcome of the defense review. Because the force structure and the force employment is the one that must inform that fiscal. And page 18 says, this is for us to note as the department. I think, again, we have arrived. For that one to be read, it means this department still needs more money, Che. More money. There's still more money as the Department of Defense. And lastly, you've set yourself a target of 40% on page 21, on the percentage of disciplinary cases finalizing within 120 days. Don't you think that's a very low percentage? Because, you see, that's why we still have a problem with the unions, even though it is great. Don't you think that's a very low percentage to set for yourself to be able to finalize these issues? Because I'll tell you, if you don't do it in the department, and then the ombuds, and then the commission, and you still have unions, I think you need to do something about that presentation. Thank you, Chair. Oh, lastly, I wanted to ask Chair, the processes up to the appointment of the military ombuds, were they followed to the latter? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the presenter. The first one is a comment that you need action under ministerial priorities. You know, when we're having debates every year, whether a minister gets changed or not, there were decisions that were taken, there were six of them, only one that I see, the ombuds. There were decisions that were taken during the debate. I would have loved to see them as the ministerial priorities. You can go back and read the budget vote. They are written first, second, third, fourth, appendix six, and I'm not finding them anywhere in the priorities of financial year 2012 and 2013. My fear is that it will look like it's it was done because somebody else was in the department, or a new one is no longer taken as priorities. We can go back and look at them. Maybe next time when we meet, we would have prioritized them. Because we participated in that debate and we meant business. The second one, Honorable Daniel covered me on the compliance. Why is it a high risk? Why should the compliance be a high risk? Are people bad members? The last one is on page 20. You're 24. I would like to know who are these stakeholders. When I say DOD Foreign Relations Director to status, submit policy to stakeholders for input. Who are these stakeholders that will give you your ember and not full green? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start with the selected performance indicators. Serial number 6, the number of hours at sea per year. If I understand it correctly, it says the projection for the financial year is 35,000. That is the number of hours at sea. Excuse me. But it says in progress, if I understand it correctly, for the first quarter we only obtained 2,584. Now if I look at that rate, there's a big problem. Now I want to know why are we not, because we're not going to obtain the target. It means our soldiers or our Navy people are not at sea. And I'd like to know why, because that is what this indicator is telling me. Then, Chairperson, if I go to the summary of quarterly performance targets, firstly, I don't understand, and I go to serial number 21, the percentage compliance of the AU and UN requirements, rules and regulations. It is green, Chairperson. But I don't see any figures in there. There are numerous of these performance indicators. They are, the progress indicator is green. But we don't have any statistics. So how can we say, must we only accept the word here that it is green? But according to this performance report, I have no indication what is going on there. I specifically want to go to the serial number 26, the percentage of disciplinary cases analyzed. The annual target is 40%. Chairperson, I think that's too low. One of the big problems in the Defense Force is when it comes to disciplinary measures and the finalization of disciplinary cases. Why 40%? Who determined that? And what is the real progress? It says it's green. So I'd like to have an answer on that. At the same one, serial number, okay, 29, I have an explanation with the Defense Force Service Commission. I just hope, Chairperson, we do not deploy and do operations in the Defense Force the way we have to appoint commissions, because then we're never going to reach our target. But that's only a remark. I want to go to serial number 30. Two, it is linked up with the disciplinary cases. The percentage of daily collective grievances and disputes resolved. 80%, okay, it's a bit higher. But where are we at the moment? Are we have a progress in the resolving of our people's grievances? And then maybe Chairperson, number 36, the level of morale within the Defense Force. Can I just have an explanation how it works? It is more than 3. What is how do we do that measurement? I'd like to know that. And then lastly, Chairperson, serial number 37, the percentage of litigation settled in favor of the DoD. Our target is 100%, but what I see in front of me is we didn't obtain one. Can I just have a question on that? Thank you, Chair. The litigation, the percentage of litigation the target is 100%, which is good, but I don't see any what was the performance, for instance, for the first quarter? Have I missed it? Say again? Sorry. Accepted, sorry. I've looked at the wrong, actually I put the other wrong column, it's right. That one is then solved, then the others please. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I have two brief questions. The one is on acquisition, serial 60. My understanding is that the target says to me that 30% of the budget required for main DoD equipment is in place. That's the target. Now, which suggests that there's a drastic shortage of budget available or allocation for acquisition in the Defense Force. Now, that is true. If that is true, why is there 1.3 billion Rand uncommitted being hidden in the special defense account? That's the first question. And if there was not sufficient budget for main DoD equipment acquisition, how was it that the Defense Force planned to spend $80 million reconfiguring a VIP aircraft? How could that possibly have been afforded, given the shortage? But my real question is, if there's a shortage of budget for acquisition, how is it that 1.3 billion Rand is being hidden in the Special Defense Account, uncommitted? That's the first question. The second question is Serial 29 and Serial 38, referring to the Defense Force Service Commission and the military ombud. I just want to understand, as of present, is the Defense Force Service Commission functional or not functional, and is the military ombud functional or not functional? And if it is not, if either of them are not functional, why are they not functional? And just finally, Chair, I've looked at the minute of our previous quarterly meeting, and I note that we were owed a written response to many queries from the department. That meeting, I note, was on the 13th of March this year. We have received no such written response.
Honorable Nana.
Thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, I don't have much to say. My colleagues have covered me to a greater extent. The first one, Chair, is between serial number 6, serial number 5, serial number 6, serial number 9, and 12. Officials from the department would recall that in the budget debate, some of us lamented about the insufficient hours of flying by the South African force. As a consequence, we were losing talented pilots in the process. I see in serial number 5 you are almost one third. You have achieved almost a third of your target. Honorable Kunavald has spoken about serial number 6, but really worries me is serial number 5, 6, 9, and 12. Are you confident that you will be able to meet your targets in relation to those four serial numbers? And second one, Chairperson, if my memory serves me well, when the department in the meeting of March, when they reported about the levels of morale in our defense force, one of the members commented that you were actually modest. You were actually modest about the levels of morale in the defense force. If the levels of the morale in the defense force are positive, how come do we have in today's media report that some of our soldiers have actually invited the expelled youth leader Julius Malema to come and address them? If the morale in our defense force is so positive, if our soldiers are happy, why would they, with all the other remedies at their disposal, why would they resolve to appeal to Julius Malema? I wouldn't want to ask your contingency in an event that kind of a gathering goes wayward, as well as in the mining industry. Wherever he goes, hell breaks loose. I don't want to lead you into that trap, but I just want your response in relation to the moral issue. And then the last one, Chairman, I agree with Honorable Daniels. The defense needs more money. We have emphasized this in the last budget debate, and we will continue working with you in trying to get more money from the fiscals. But how do you explain getting more money? How do you explain when people are advocating for more money for the defense, and yet the defense continues to lose money? How do you explain that to the fiscals? The Sowetan of the 9th of August reported that over half a million rands were stolen in Portchester in two saves. Are you aware of this? How far is the extent of this kind of theft in our army bases? It's reported that grinders were used to cut open the saves. I mean, how come that grinders would go throughout the night and no one picks up? How far are the investigations? What is the extent of this problem? Are we losing money in one base in Potchefstroom, or it's a common practice throughout the country? How do you really want us to continue supporting you in your struggles with National Treasury to get money, whilst you continue losing money through theft and other means? Thank you.
Honorably, sir. Can you press your mic?
Yeah, thank you very much. Chair, the issue I've got is that I think the template needs to be cleaned up. There should be consistency in the template. That when we speak about the YTD at the end, then we should speak about the percentages exactly in relation to what the target is, what was actually achieved in the first quarter, what the data in the first quarter, and what's the percentage of that, and so that we can read it properly. We're reading the same figures just being repeated in the last column, and we'd like to measure the percentage of the achievement. The second one is, there's no such thing as something in progress. We've done it or we didn't do it. What percentage of work did we achieve? I don't think that's an answer. I think it should be clear of what we have done. If it's minimal work, it's 5%. We say it's 5%. There's no other. If you look at the ministerial priorities, Mr. Chair, number 6, that says 2,000 is the projection. The first quarter was 973, but the YTD stands at 0. That's totally wrong. The other one is also at 7, job creation, we look at 90% projection. First achievement is 98.5%, but the YTD stands at 90%. Totally wrong. I don't know, sitting with the to clean up this mess, because template seems to be a big problem for government. they don't consistently do it throughout. The other one is the same, and we're looking at number two, unselected performance indicators. Why do we have 40 attaches, and we say first quarter we achieve 39? The attaches have been existing for many years. Are we trying to establish new attaches, then there's one attache and we haven't achieved it yet? There's 40 attaches, the 40 new attaches that we're establishing in the world. I think I need clarity, because this is an old item that's repeated in a number of reports, and I'm sure that it's not 40 new military attaches or defense attaches. My concern on number 6 under the selected performance indicator is 35,000 the hours at sea, and we've only done in the first quarter 2,584.35. Now, I'm not sure if that is 25,000 or that 2,584.35, so it's 35 minutes or properly. Now, again, when what is the percentage? That's a serious underperformance if we're going to divide it over four quarters. Now, maybe to assist us as a committee, maybe more hours spent at sea in the second or third or fourth quarter. If we can have a projected a number of hours, that means we can understand how it is spread through the year. Because otherwise we can have a small percentage at the beginning of the year, a huge percentage in the second quarter, and that also affects other operational issues. So, and then I go to number 9, number of joint interdepartmental and multinational military exercises conducted per year. These things are normally arranged well ahead of time. That's not done in 1 month, in 6 weeks. It's done year, a year, 2 years before the time when agreements are reached on multinational military exercises together. Why don't we have the projections in which quarter we are actually going to operate with which countries? Those things are well organized. At this moment, we're sitting with one operation in the first quarter, and that's totally underperformed, unless we have five in the next quarter, because it's all planned. And I think we just need to have that type of indication of how it is projected, which can assist us. If I move on to the other one, then it's on page 14 of slides. Resourcing of the ICT. This is one of the areas that the AG has serious issues with throughout government. And I think it's an area we'd like to have certain clarity of what is the problem that we have only a 1.57% performance out of 5% set, and then I say incrementally it's supposed to increase to 55%. When do we actually achieve 100%? Because this is one of the areas that impacts on the performance of departments not to reach level 4. So if we're stating level 4 of the audit performance, we are overestimating our abilities. Because that's a key issue in driving the audit performance. I'd like to know from Ajay, what is the resourcing in that unit? Or do we have the competent people to drive the ICT and up the performance in the department? The other one is 6 and 7 at the bottom, which is page 15 of the slides. The APP and, of course, the we have the one department policy audit. Okay, let us have it, the APP. The dates are set here, but we've received these documents. It's supposed to be tabled in February, but we receive it very late. Just a few days or a week before we actually have the cities. The same thing, the annual report has been submitted according to our CFO, Mr. Chair, at the 30th of September. I'd like to know if we can get it in the first week of October. After it's been tabled, it should be available because it is the property of Parliament. So, not to receive it the 23rd when we start already interrogating the reports and things. Then it's late and we don't have time to prepare properly for that engagement. The other one is on the level 4. I'd like to know the current status of the department. Level 3 essentially is all very much compliance. And if we cannot make a commitment that we pay our debts or the attachments of documents justifying that we delay our repayments for good reason and it's in suspended accounts, then of course we will have to get qualified or matters of qualification that needs to be the matters arising. So I think we need to just be clear when we strive for level 4, are we looking at the real issues of proper governance and the performance levels that we need to achieve, and not only the compliance level. If I continue with the other one, okay, some of them are connected to each other, so repeated. But also I find it difficult, if I look on page 20 of the slides, summary of quarterly performance targets, where there's a number of percentages set as targets, but there's no first quarter targets. And only in the last quarter, it's 100%. That needs to be explained to us. What does it mean if we say 100% in the fourth quarter, but there's nothing happening in the first quarter, second quarter, or third quarter? Is it a one-off issue that can be achieved in the last quarter only? or is the work that must be done leading up to a completion in the last quarter, because there's a complete gap in between. So they're supposed to be targets set and targets validated on every quarter. Some of these, I see there's also the explanation given that 100%, 100% on the litigation issue. There must be a target set of 100% and a validated target of 100%. Probably the question would be then, how many cases were dealt with if there was litigation? And it was dealt with effectively, then we should say it's 100% of cases and then also set it clearly in the target. The morale, I think this is specifically depending on the Defense Secretariat. It doesn't speak generally of the morale in the Defense Force or the forces at different quarters. So I think there's a clear distinction between the morale there and the morale here that we have between it. Those are the few points I'd like to raise at this stage. Mr. Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The Department, you have about 15 minutes to respond to those questions. If you do not respond within the time limit, I'm going to require from you to submit written responses before the 18th of September, as next week they will be the last meeting for the committee for this term. Can you respond to the questions? Mr. Glavantu?
Chair, if I'm correct, I think there are questions that are either reinforcing each other or repetitive. I think I will try to structure the way we respond in relationship to those things. I think there are questions about the measurements and the achievement of targets in specific areas, etc. I'm going to address to the acting chief of defense strategy and policy to deal with those as a beginning. If there is a gap in the response, then I can come in and help assist. I will also deal with there are also questions that relate to resourcing to a large extent. And probably resource under performance, funding, etc. I will deal with those in chat. And then I will ask any one of the members of the team to respond to anything that we've not have addressed. I'm going to ask Mr. Zada to first start with those, because there are many of them that are to the targets, so that they are responded to appropriately, and then I can deal with the rest of the issues.
Thank you, President. If I can start. We understand the questions pertaining to issues of targets and indicators and how they have been calculated. I think, Mr. President, just in general terms, we have to explain very clearly that the planning system is governed by frameworks that Treasury gives to all government departments. And those frameworks tell us how you must prepare your plans. As an example, you are required to have a strategic plan covering a 5-year period, and then you shall have APPs which cover the full every year that you move into. But for the year that you're talking about, every year, every APP covers the targets for the year as well as quarterly targets. And it becomes very important that as we begin to interrogate this, what I think we could have benefited from having the plan itself, so that we can be able to interpret whatever we say now against that particular plan. But moving further to that, when you do set indicators, one of the frameworks that you have to adhere to is to ensure that the indicators that you put firstly are SMART, according to, as you know, what SMART means, simple, measurable, realistic, and very specific. But when you do set a target using those particular principles of being SMART, you do so with a view of saying there shall be an interpretation of the target that you place on the table. Just like in research, if you conduct a research, you shall have a particular methodology that you use to arrive at a particular conclusion. So it's the same thing that we apply when we do interpret the targets that we place on the table. So Treasury says you shall have what is called a technical data sheet, which therefore lays out the basis of the calculation and interpretation, so that we do not interpret these targets using different backgrounds. So we are need, therefore, that the department is working hard at the present moment to ensure that those data sheets are put into place to ensure that the interpretation of the targets is against that, so that we have a common base to move from. But if that, therefore, is the case, person, any interpretation of the target that we have placed over here will be subject to that. But we admit some of the questions that have been asked that actually say that we still require to refine some of the targets to allow for better understanding and interpretation. As an example, Chairperson, the first question related to slide number one, where we are talking about the ICT and the red coding that has been placed against that. The question is, how do you come to a conclusion that this is supposed to be red as opposed to amber and as opposed to it being green? And that is because in the plan that is around that, it indicates that there are certain six ICT solutions that the IT department needs to bring about. And if those solutions are not realized in the quota that we are talking about, you cannot come to any other conclusion but today. The target of six solutions per quota has not been realized. But I think it's important that if we were to have the benefit of having the data sheets around, so that we can even use them to interpret. But secondly, what we have on the board is not actually the quarterly report itself. I think the department has got a quarterly report that is detailed, that explains the presentation as it is put over here. As per prescript, we are supposed to submit such quarterly reports to National Treasury and Presidency. And I think it becomes important that maybe that we could have brought with us or submitted to Parliament those particular detailed quarterly reports to be able to help us to interpret all the figures that we are putting over here. But we admit the fact that the refinement of this target has got to go to happen so that we can be able to have a common understanding of them. And therefore the issue of ICT and the rate, therefore the conclusion is because of the failure to reach the six solutions, IT solutions as indicated. The other matter raised is about the research capability, which is also arising out of the issue of targeting. We are indicating that in red because the plan was, or the intention was, to have a capability in place by the end of the quarter. That did not happen because of reasons that, as an example, the people who are supposed to ensure that this research capability is established are currently attached to the Defense Review Committee. And the consequence of that, they are unable, therefore, to ensure that this research capability comes about. And I think the benefit of this capability, by the way, is to ensure that if we do research in Defense Department, maybe for the Minister or for the Health Department or the Chief of the SANDF, we do so, we produce the reports that are balanced, and the research products that we therefore use are the ones that can be founded on very academic backgrounds. And I think for us to do that, we need a very robust research capability. But we have not been able to do so, to establish that because of the reasons I have just stated. There's other matters related to targets, and I think there were issues around the flying hours and all of that. That is true. At the beginning of the quarter, the intention of the SANDF was to have those particular hours flown per year. And obviously, in the APP, they are broken down per quarter. And what we therefore see here is achievement per particular quarter. Therefore, the question is, are we comfortable with them? Well, to some extent we are. In some areas we are not. Because if the number is too short of the biggest ultimate annual target, therefore you stand at risk of not achieving the entire. So that is where therefore the issue of remedial action comes about. And therefore I agree that some part of the table we have on the board has got to be rationalized to ensure that it gives the members of Parliament an opportunity to interpret the difference or the deviation between the target as well as the actual performance. So Shepard, I think in general terms, this is what I would say, just without derogating from answering specific questions related to some of this matter. Just before.
Thank you very much, Chair. I note that I think the questions were asked with various examples that relate to those, and I think the answer is seeking to to seek to address and provide the context regarding both, all of them. There is the question that relates to, yes, Chair, I think with regard to resourcing of the Defence Force, I think it is generally accepted that we are under-resourced. No, I think, sir, honourable member, with respect, sir. I wanted to complete by creating the context, the dilemma, and the difficulty that we, and probably one can argue some contradictions in the process, but that's fine. Generally, there is a shortage of funds. With respect to the spending on the SDA, special defense account items defined in terms of the maintenance of what category of acquisitions that are covered under that. I think I want to state for the record as the first person to admit, there are, and there have been over years, historical, serious underperformances that relate to generally achieving what is already committed, agreed upon in this environment. There are various conditions to this. And I'll come back to the issue of the 1.2 uncommitted amount. And those relate, and I think I did make the point that the minister appointed as the deputy minister to lead a discussion on the analysis of what are the contributing factors to this situation where there is underperformance. Some of it we have identified are internal to the Department of Defense. They are about the processes that sometimes are too long and repetitive in nature that need to be eliminated in order to ensure that there are efficiencies that are achieved. We're doing a complete review of DAP 1000 acquisition program. We're not saying it is not necessary. We're saying in that program, I think there is a lot of confusion that exists with regard to the structures that are necessary to ensure that there's good corporate governance and oversight over the process, but some of them may be abusing and usurping powers that do not necessarily fall within their ambits. And I think that is what has come out of that. I'm sure at some stage it may be appropriate for the committee to invite the department when the full outcome of that is at least to get a sense of what were those things. They related to even processes within the department itself, inefficiencies, approval structures, repeating the same things. Then one structure returns approvals that have been made by another structure. They have to start from scratch, and et cetera, et cetera. And some of them actually have compromised us even in processes of litigation, et cetera, to some extent. Because if you can't justify from basis of efficiency or at least the powers and the mandate, then you would have problems that relate to those. That's the one. Then there are also external parties to the process. You will recall that you have ArmSquare as an acquisition as a procurement agent. To some extent, it is part of our internal process. We also need to ensure that processes in ArmSquare also are interrogated to the extent that they may be competing to the inefficiencies and lack of ability to meet target. But the industry performance also challenged. We may have lost, I think in some cases, it's things that are not man-made, losing capacity in certain industries and therefore requiring that when they are engaged, they would not be able to meet your targets. And many projects are shifted to the right as a result of those deficiencies. I mean, the problem of Danel as generally pronounced under the Ministry of Public Enterprises mean that because Danel is primarily providing the major client of Danel is defense. And if Danel has problems of capacity, of underfunding, of etc., and all of those things, they necessarily will affect the country. Danel fulfill their own commitments that relate to us. And all of those things are things that are being addressed in totality and in the context of that. And I think it would be good if at a time when all of those things are finished, then the committee could get a sense of what are the improvements that are being envisaged in the process and what interventions are being done collectively by government workers, most of some of those sectors that are outside of defense. So to that, in that regard, I think that is probably the problem that one sees in contrasting the generally accepted position that we are underfunded, because that is a fact, that we are underfunded in a number of areas in terms of what our commitments are supposed to be with regard to this. So this understanding in the capital is itself a cause for concern, on a matter that we are concerned about ourselves, because it creates a wrong impression when we want to deal with that. Now, the uncommitted funding, we never had to do this analysis until we had to make sure that there is a proper accounting arrangement even within the SEA itself. I think it's just unfortunate that things went to the public and created an impression that the SDA is a fund that is not subject to scrutiny of Parliament. I think it is something that we would need to, it's probably either because we communicate badly as department or when things get to the public inappropriately. I think because the SDA itself is audited by the AG, we present the financial statements of the usage of the funding. Be that probably what may be debated is the extent of the detail that then is briefed to Parliament and what structures are in place in Parliament to ensure that that is that. I think that is something that at the policy level and legislative level can be addressed. But as we were doing the accounts in line with GRAP and matching and making sure that we understand what is really committed and what is not committed in this fund, we then were able for the first time to indicate that there is this amount of money that remains unfunded. And the reasons for it are various and they vary. Uncommitted. That is 1.3 billion available in 1 year if you match what is contractually committed by the department with regard to it. And that is different from analyzing a scam as a register of defense's requirements, which is 25-30-year program that says there are all these projects, there are different stages of development, and most, by the way, one of the things we've done to analyze is to say you could have the right mix between the stages of the projects. Most of the projects that result in this unfunding is to have a situation where most of the projects are at development stage and they remain at development stage, and the real funding flow takes place when people actually producing the goods. That's when you start to get huge spending. But the development stage is research, analysis, understanding the project, understanding what is required, defining the project, developing the prototypes and all of those things. And that is usually slow in spending. So we're trying to find a mechanism that will ensure that we have the right mix so that when we put on the register of commitments and matching it to each of the financial years on a cash flow basis, we're able to identify all those projects that are being implemented to extend that with commitments signed, they are aimed at ensuring that they will be delivered within the defined time. And I think the DAP 1000 process review is also addressing that part. So we have this, and some of this...
Honorable Kabat,
yes,
just hold it for a while. Honorable members, our time is up. It's up to you if you want the department to complete this round of questions or you want them to submit written responses.
Chairperson, can I say that, well, the time is quarter up, but can I just say this? Seeing that we are using the methodology of based on academic principles, I would suggest you do some empirical research as well, so that the results of your methodology that you bring in front of this committee have specific results. Because at this moment, if you have a methodology with no results, it's useless. Because this report, Jefferson, is exactly what the honorable member has said. We have indicators, we have targets, but it's totally, can I say, unknown whether the other quarters are targets or what has we obtained. I would suggest that the department go back and they bring us a proper report to see exactly what the actual performance is. Because at this moment, it seems as if the methodology is totally confused, because it does not bring actual reports on the performance of the SANDF.
So, with those words, you suggest that the department will submit written responses. Thank you. Honorable Mania?
Raise this. I mean, I think given the fact that we've run out of time, the only, and many members will have other meetings, the only solution that we available is that the department provide written responses. But the problem is that on two previous occasions, departments have undertaken to provide written responses. At the hearing on the annual report on 9th of May 2012, the department undertook to provide written responses. No written responses were received. At the last quarterly meeting, which I mentioned earlier, the department undertook to provide written responses. No written responses were received. Now, it's entirely possible that the department provided those written responses to Parliament, but Parliament didn't provide them to the members. There's something very wrong here, Chair, and has to be looked into, because we are regularly promised written responses, but we do not receive them. And the question is, why not? Is it departmental, ministerial, or parliamentary?
Thank you very much. I think the view of all of us, can we have those written responses before the 18th day of September? Yes, Chief. Okay.
Has the department provided written responses to Parliament? That's my question. In the past, you've undertaken to provide written responses. Have you done so?
I think the problem has been resolved. Well, we say they must submit those written responses before the 18th of September, which will include the outstanding ones, isn't it? Yes, you must be having them somewhere if you haven't submitted them. Yes. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The meeting's agenda.